Recording in progress.
That's me.
All right, and we are recording. The floor is yours.
Thank you, sir. Right. It is Saturday, October 30th, 10 a.m., and this is the Cambria Community Services District Board meeting, and it is a special meeting of the board to consider information related to a specific agenda item today. With that being said, as a call to order, Osana, can you provide the flag for us, please, for the Pledge of Allegiance? Thank you. Will you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, Osana. And in establishment of a quorum, we have all five board members here this morning. Thank you. And we will be taking public comment on the agenda item, and it will be part of the regular business item. But just in that, I would like to just make a quick review of what the intent of today's meeting is, which is threefold. We're going to be receiving the report from Spahn Ranch regarding the skate park design. And we have Mr. Spahn available to address questions the board members may have. Then we will receive information from our project manager and district engineer, Mr. Ray D'Anzo, regarding his permit process pre-planning meeting with the county personnel. And then Mr. D'Anzo will be available to address questions the board members may have regarding the permitting process information. There will not be any specific discussions related to Prop 68 in today's meeting. Those actions sit outside our receipt of the information that were outlined in these first two actions. And then our final action will be for the board to direct the skate park design report to the PROS Commission for its review and recommendations regarding the design. And in that direction, the board will also provide any criteria it would like to have the PROS consider in its review. So with that introduction out of the way, moving to regular business and agenda item 3A. And GM Weigold, would you introduce the agenda item, please, and then we will go to public comment.
Yes, President Steidel, agenda item number 3A is presentation, discussion, and consideration of the skate park design. Staff recommends that the board discuss and consider the skate park design following a presentation by Spahn Ranch. As background, the board previously gave staff direction to engage a designer for the skate park at the site of the former skate park facility, which was demolished in 2019. The skate park contract was awarded, and over the summer months, Spahn Ranch has endeavored into a design. And then in the latter month or so here, the CCSD assigned a project manager, the district as district engineer, who has worked closely with Spahn Ranch, working through and having a meeting with the SLO County Planning Department. That was held this past Monday. The Spahn Ranch presentation and associated appendices are listed as attachments in today's presentation as part of the board practice, board package. And unless you have further questions, I would propose turning the presentation over to Spahn Ranch.
Thank you very much, Jim Weigold. What we will do is take a public comment first. And so, Osana, any of the attendees who wish to speak, please. And as point of reference, as always with our public comment timeframes, it will be at a 3-minute time frame for any comment from an individual. Thank you.
Thank you. I have Cecilia Montalvo. Go ahead, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. I want to make sure I was off. My name is Cecilia Montalvo. I chair the Health Advocacy and Community Outreach Committee for the Cambria Community Healthcare District. And I'm just wanted to bring to your attention again that our board did consider this topic, and we are very, very supportive of this project. I think from a health perspective, we really want to see opportunities for recreation and activity for young people. As you know, there are a lot of health issues for our youth here, including rising obesity and things like diabetes. And exercise is just pivotal to that. And while we have a beautiful outdoors, I think that kids will do what they like to do. And clearly this is something that kids like to do. And the other thing I would urge you to do is, with all of the effort that's been made for this project, I think that we would love to collaborate if there's any way, but would like to see any resources available be at least partially committed to this. And I won't take any further time. I know you have a lot of kids here, but thanks for letting me talk.
Thank you very much. And thank you for the voice of support and the offer for any kind of collaboration. Osana.
Thank you, Cecilia. Cyrus Tatham, go ahead, please.
Hello, my name is Cyrus Tatham. I'm here with my two friends and my mom, Jack and Dane. We're in high school. Wait, they can see my face.
Cyrus, I'm sorry, but we seem to, if you can either raise your voice or your microphone, we're having difficulty hearing you.
Okay, my name is Cyrus Tatham. I'm 16 years old. I'm here with my friends, Jack and Dane. We're happy to be working with you guys. I can say on behalf of Skate Cambria that we're all excited to be working with you guys now. And thank you, Aaron Spahn, for showing up to the meeting as well. And I'm just exhilarated that we're starting in on this project finally. And I feel like we're really going somewhere and getting this thing done. It just feels awesome. And thank you, John Weigold, for and all of you guys for helping us do this.
Thank you, Cyrus. Were either of the two fellow skaters, I'm assuming, there with you, have something they would like to say?
Yeah, we're here and we're just thinking pretty much the same thing. Thank you to everyone, and thank you to Aaron Spahn for being here and supporting us.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Thank you. All right, Osana, our next.
Yes. Yes, Chelsea Foster, go ahead, please.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, board members, and everybody attending this meeting. Hi, Aaron from Spahn. I stand in as a child that grew up in Cambria, as well as an advocate for the skateboarding industry at large, working in action sports. You guys know me from previous calls. I'm just excited to see the plans, especially with regard to the fact that, you know, there's been some movement for landscape architecture, things that will support the project in beautifying the area. It has so many extra legs on it outside of the obvious of supporting children and supporting recreation in the community, something that has lacked since I graduated as a young Bronco in 1991. So it's way overdue time, and I'm so happy to see this positive momentum and see everybody putting their best foot forward to support this project. And I'm just, again, looking forward to seeing the plans because, you know, with something like this, it really extends itself beyond just for the kids. The kids is the primary. Think about people that with their, you know, grandparents that live in town that want to have that experience with their child outside of going to Shamwell Park, people that come through town, others that are maybe surfing, et cetera. The presence of a skate park brings together a community in countless ways outside of the beautiful sport of which it is. So Been working hard with industry leaders to show everyone here how much support we have and how positive of a project this truly, truly is. So on that note, I just wanted to say thank you for acknowledging that. And our trust is with you to continue pushing this all the way through with good conscience and positivity and all of that. So thank you so much. And I look forward to seeing what everybody else has to share.
Thank you very much, Ms. Foster. Osama?
I have a couple of written
all right. comments.
And I also have a YouTube 3-minute video.
Oh, interesting. So, that's the first time that that's occurred in a board meeting. Okay.
All right. So, I have, I guess, would you like to first still take?
Yes, please.
Okay, let's do Jeffrey Smith. Go ahead, please.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. Just want to thank everyone for all the progress we've had. Everyone from the board, the general public, community organizations, and leaders that have stepped up around this project. And for all the progress we've made, actions like, you know, picking the site, dedicating the land, contracting Spohn Ranch, getting a project manager on this, starting conversations with the county, holding this special meeting right here. We're just all so thankful this project's moving forward. I just wanted to reiterate my support. I've been working with this project for well over a year, seeing the kids out there, you know, every Friday, trying to raise money, move this project forward. So it's so important, I think, to, you know, get a park in place while these kids are working, are young, and have the time to really invest in the sport and learn the foundations and make it a lifelong passion. So I really just urge the board to, you know, be proactive, creative, and trying to figure out how any solutions we can to hurdle any challenges with the county and try to move this project forward as fast as we can. I really think it's crucial to try to fast track and explore options for doing that. So just wanted to again say thank you to everyone, and so excited to see this moving forward. So thank you so much. And yeah, I look forward to seeing the presentation from Spohn Ranch.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank you.
Osana?
Yes. So I'm going to share my screen.
All right.
All right.
Let's see, we need audio.
We need audio.
Do we not have audio available
have audio.
Here?
I don't have audio.
Osana, I think there's a switch that you can set when you do the share that it will allow the audio to come through. So you might want to reshare.
Okay. Let's see.
Possibly at the bottom of your screen.
It's on. Can you not hear it?
Well, it has not restarted, so you just need to hit the start at the middle of the screen. It's possible there is audio, but just not playing.
Oh, okay. Let me
we need to unmute. There it is.
Okay.
Okay. Now, would you please take it back to the beginning so that we can...
Sure.
Right. Excellent. Thank you.
Okay.
That seemed not to do it. So Osana, let me ask, is there someone there that could continue to work this to resolve that? And in the meantime, we could get the written note read.
I'm sorry. What was your question?
So is it possible for, is there anyone else there that could assist in resolving getting the audio up on this for us? And in the meantime, you could be reading the written.
Let me stop share. Okay, so you aren't able to hear it at all?
No.
Oh, wow. I don't know how that, I don't know how to fix that. Microphone, speaker.
Well, perhaps,
okay.
Perhaps someone can assist in that. If necessary, we can come back to that later in the presentation so that can be seen. Okay. And then the meantime, if you could read the written, please.
Sure, will do. Okay. I have a written comment from Shannon Sutherland. I am writing to show my support for a much needed skate park in Cambria. As someone who grew up in Cambria, raised children in Cambria, and wants her grandchildren to stay in Cambria, I implore the CCSD board and the County of San Luis Obispo to do what is right and provide access to recreation for the young people who live here. The focus, attention, and money have consistently been on the older population, absentee homeowners and tourists with little or no thought to our young people. There are safe walking trails, sidewalks, and bathrooms for tourists, pickleball and lawn bowling for the older people prominently displayed in the middle of town. While the schools where the kids go to recreate, while the schools where the kids go to recreate are located in remote areas, the kids have to navigate dangerous roads with no shoulder pads or sidewalks to get to their playing fields. This alone speaks volumes about the value we place on the youth in our community. We currently have one county playground structure and the seasonal pool as the only youth recreational facilities, and SLO County has relied heavily on the Coast United School District to provide playing fields for our kids. The skate park project is an opportunity to rectify some of this inequality. There is a long list of reasons why the skate park is beneficial to the community, but let's just focus on the fact that our kids are asking for it and we should support them in their request for youth-friendly spaces. Respectfully, Shannon Sutherland. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right.
And let's see. I don't see any additional attendees that have held up their hands. Let me
President, prepared by my shot at the video. If
all right.
You get a shot.
Okay, let's give it a try.
I'm Mark Appleyard, pro skateboarder. I'm out here in Tampa for the Pearl Contest. And I think it's really great what you guys are doing in Cambria for the community. And it's a great thing. So all the best. And I hope you can skate to Cambria Skate Park when it's ready. Awesome.
Go on.
Hey, sorry, Bud Will. Thanks for supporting Skate Cambria. Good luck. Get the skate park. Really stoked. Can't wait.
Hey, my name is Dave Duncan. I'm with World Cup Skateboarding. I've been skateboarding my whole life, ridden hundreds of skate parks, and I support Skate Cambria. We want to skate. Let's do this.
What's up, y'all? This is Chris Gentry, professional skateboarder. We're out here at the Pro Riders Ranch, right here on this beautiful Dave Duncan Bill mini ramp. We're out here supporting the Skate Cambria. We need skate parks. We need to get the kids outside, learning skate. Hashtag, we want to skate. We support the skate community out there in Central Coast, California. Let's go, Riders gotta ride.
What's up? This is Sammy Baptista. I support the Cambria Skate Park. We need more parks for kids to get outlets, to get off the trouble. That's what it is. We support y'all.
Hello, my name is Tito Parada. I've been designing and building skate parks for 20 years, and I've seen the positive effects that that does to at-risk youth. So I am giving full support and lots of props to Skate Cambria and the coalition for doing all the work to get the skate park going. I want the city council to support this park because the return on investment on quality of life and all those good things are unbeatable and priceless. So let's get Cambria.
Hey, what's up? This is Danny Fonsolino. I'm from Miami, Florida. I'm the founder of Skate Free. We built Model Lake Skate Park there. And I just want to give a shout out to Skate Cambria for the efforts they're doing to build the skate park out there. And I know it's a tough process, but if you support your skate and your local scene, you'll see that it brings not only the skate community to a city, it changes like the diversity and the outlook on skateboarders. And you can like beautify an area that before that put might be Darren Lake or something like that. So that's really good. So good on you guys. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much, Jim Weigel, for getting that resolved so we had the opportunity to see that. Obviously, a lot of very supportive input from all over the country. Amazingly, the Cambria would have that that level of attention.
Yeah, we're out here at the skate park. Ojai is a really fun park. It's east of Ventura. And,
okay.
Sorry about that. It went on to the next video, and
all right. Okay.
One more comment with her hand raised.
Right, I see that. Thank you, Osana.
Yes, Julie Amode, go ahead, please.
Thank you, and I just want to say good morning to everyone on the screen and to all those in the audience for your continued support to this project. It's just wonderful to be here today, to be able to give you all the details that we've put into the last 15 months. And we're just going to ask for your continued support so that we can get this project done and returned as a beautiful community asset to our community and to our children. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Amade.
Thank you.
All right. I don't see any additional hands. And are there any additional written comments, Osana?
I just checked and no. Thank you.
All right. All right. Thank you. Okay, so as mentioned, the intent of today's meeting is threefold, and the first portion of that was to receive the report from Spahn Ranch regarding the skate park design and to have Mr. Spahn address the questions of board that board members may have. So, Mr. Spahn, thank you so much for joining us today and being available to us for questions. Please proceed.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the thank yous from the audience for being here. It's honestly my privilege and honor to be here trying to assist and hopefully get a skate park built in Cambria. I also was very interested in the video that this is played because I know so many of those guys so well, and some of them actually, like Chris Gentry, for example, actually worked for me for a while in my shop and filmed one of his rap videos in my warehouse. So riders got a ride. When I hear that, it makes me laugh. But but anyways, I know that we have a lot of young people in the audience today. So the truth about these processes is that when it comes to developing a skate park, is that there's a lot involved beyond just let's create a good looking you know, fun looking course and let's get it built. It's all that development that goes into a project that takes the time. And so a lot of this, the report that I'm going to go through today is going to be a little bit dry and kind of, you know, some topics that maybe won't be as interesting to everybody, but please bear with me as I go through it. So I put together a little bit of a PowerPoint just so that it basically follows the report, but I figured it'd be easier for people to follow on screen as opposed to, I don't know if anybody's trying to actually look at the report itself. So I'm just going to click through here and just tell you how it's going. So,
all right.
So anyways, obviously there was a skate park in Cambria prior. It was lovingly built. It was removed for maintenance and safety concerns. The community is obviously underway doing a fundraising effort and doing pretty well at that. There's a lot of effort in the community, obviously, to get this park built. And CCSD is supporting that effort by hiring a skate park professional to come in and do research and do a feasibility report. And so far, we've done quite a bit of work, even though we're still in the conceptual phase of a project. So we were hired to conduct this research. We held a public meeting and did a user survey. We did an initial design concept. We did a site survey. We hired some engineers to help us analyze the site. So we did a site survey, soils report, infiltration test, a grading and drainage plan. We did a refined design concept. We did an engineer's estimate of cost for development. We put that all into a feasibility report. And then since the time that the report was finished, there was a meeting, a pre-application meeting with the county to look at, you know, the change of use, the land use permit. I participated in that meeting as well. Some of the points in this meeting, in the report at the back end were kind of TBD, but more information from that meeting really is helping us to understand that better. And Ray is going to follow up and kind of address some of those items after the fact. So this is the original park. It was built out of wood and concrete. People put effort into it. You can tell it was lovingly done.
So Mr. Spahn, let me ask, had you intended to share your screen to be showing us visuals?
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you not seeing my screen?
No, sir, we aren't. Sorry.
Okay, let me back up. I'm sorry.
Oh, not a problem. Just wanted to make sure what you wanted to show was shown.
Are you seeing my screen?
Yes, in total. I don't know whether you want to
focus
just directly to the presentation.
All right, I'm sorry. Let me try this one more time. So share screen. This desktop. Share.
Yes, seeing it, and if you have no problem with the additional pages showing to the four, there we go.
Okay. All right. So this is all what I was reading to you. We don't need to do it again.
Okay.
All right. So there's the original park, and I'm sorry about that. Built out of wood in concrete. You can tell that it was, you know, lovingly done. Community effort. Since been removed. So the plan is to replace it, or the goal would be to replace it with a cast-in-place concrete park, skate park, but really a wheeled sports park because it's going to accommodate other sports as well, with an approximate square footage of 6,000 square feet. That would be the way the park would be situated would be both in-ground and above-ground, and the ideal method is to kind of balance that. So whatever you're excavating, the material you excavate, you use to build up in other areas. And so the goal would be to do zero import or export of material. There would need to be a drainage system designed and built in order to manage stormwater runoff. And then we were also looking at providing a seating area with some shade, and there would need to be other infrastructure such as parking, that would also need to be part of the project. And the size of the park is really would be what's the maximum that we can achieve based on all of our needs and based on our usable area in the site. So that's the that's the park as it sits today. It's all that's left is a concrete pad and a fence along one side. And things that are unique about this particular site and this project is the fact that the park is located at the base of a slope. It's also alongside a primary thoroughfare, and the site is really undeveloped, other than the concrete slab. So the area, the flat area that's really usable in the park is just a very small portion of the larger property. So in order for us to really analyze and look at a site and understand what we can build, how we can build, what it's going to cost to build, what are the issues, we have to gather more data. And so we usually hire engineers, which we did here. We hired GB Land Surveying to do a topographical and boundary map of the site. We hire GeoSolutions to come in and test the soil and create a soils report and do a infiltration test of the soil. And we take all that data, the topo map and the soils report and the infiltration test, and we give that to our civil engineer, who we are working with, Civil Design Studio, who I know you're familiar with. And Civil Design Studio is creating for us a preliminary grading and drainage plan and a parking lot design. And all of those things work in conjunction with each other. So what we found with the soils type is that it's sandy and non-expansive, which is great. That makes it optimal for skate park construction. When you have clay soils that are expansive, when they get wet, they swell and they shrink, and all that movement really beats up concrete. And that's when a lot of times you see parks that crack or age prematurely. And a lot of times that has to do with soil conditions. The soil also has a high transmission rate for water, which means that water will seep into the ground very readily. And that's optimal for an infiltration style drainage system. And what we found from the stormwater management side is that, we have to follow guidelines set by the county on how we deal with stormwater runoff. And typically what you do is you capture all the water that lands on the impervious surfaces, which is the concrete or asphalt surfaces. And then you capture and hold that on site, and you try to get it to infiltrate in the ground, seep into the ground, and not leave the site. That's the goal. And there's usually a quantity or a ratio of water that you need to capture. You don't necessarily have to hold it all, but there's a certain amount based on the soil, the square footage, and the and codes and things like that. So we developed a system that, a preliminary system that does all of that. And the other thing that's different about this site is that normally the concrete is shedding water to the surrounding terrain. In this case, we have some of the surrounding terrain shedding water into the skate area. And so that too needs to be managed. All the water coming down the slope also needs to be managed. So early in the process, we developed a design concept based on the things that we knew currently and some early assumptions that we were pretty confident on. We developed about a 6,000 square foot design, it's give or take a little bit. And we designed a parking lot because we knew that we were going to have to provide parking. Specifically, ADA was going to need to be provided for, and then we assumed we would try to do as many additional off-street parking areas as possible. So the design was done based on input from the users, from the survey that we did. And so we tried to put in a street area and some transition stuff. You can see that we have a seating area. There's also a fence along the front side there. And I'll just mention the fence is there not just for security, because it doesn't enclose the entire place, or for aesthetics, although it does provide a little of both. It's primarily to keep things from entering or exiting the skate park unexpectedly and any kind of conflict between users and traffic, basically. So as we're doing further research, looking, you know, going through, you know, looking at county records, talking to county planners, we looked and we checked that the park is zoned, the area is zoned, the parcel is zoned for recreation. But what we didn't know initially was that it was currently designated for commercial retail. And that's the land use designation. And because it was for commercial use, that really means that in order to build recreation or a park on this park, we have to get a change of land use. We have to get a change of use. And you have to go through the land use permit process to do that and create a development plan. And there's a couple levels of process that, you know, degrees of difficulty in process. Based on the realities of this project, we have to go through the most rigorous process, and that's the development plan and approval process. Some of the work that we've done already satisfies some of the requirements that will be needed for that, to apply for that land use permit. But there are a lot of other things that will need to be navigated and information gathered and reports filed. So there's still a fair bit of work to be done in getting that land use permit done. But that doesn't, what our goal is to understand, is there anything that would prohibit us or any unknowns that would be a real problem? Because we can still continue with the plan to develop the park at the same time as the permitting process is taking place. And in fact, some of the information that you need to apply for the use permit is really generated through the continuous design work that would be done. There's really skate park design work and information generated that would be needed for this use permit application. So here's the park also, you know, from a different angle. And as you can see, the library and the adjacent property to that both set back into the hillside. And, you know, that's an important concept when it comes to this project. And I'll explain more about that as we go further. So two things that we knew right away was that parking and setback might be potential issues. So we knew that you'd have to provide ADA parking and a safe path of travel into the facility for ADA. Then we also discovered that there's a skate park standard, planning standard created by the county, which says that you need to have one parking space per 500 square feet of use area. And, you know, we were also taking a look at off-street parking, which is some of the users are using off-street parking currently. That's not currently developed, but the off-street parking doesn't apply. Well, I'm sorry, off-street parking has certain design requirements that need to be followed in order to follow, once again, county standards. So you have to have a restricted driveway. You need to have area for it to back up and turn when exiting a parking stall. There needs to be a 5-foot setback from the street. And so those standards actually made, and the goal of trying to get one space for 500 square feet of use area, totally changed our concept of what we're going to do with parking. It increased the area that we would need in order to accomplish that. And honestly, in some way, increased the complexity of the build and cost that's associated with that. We were also looking at on-street parking because we know that it's going to happen there. And at first, we were hoping that it would be possible to apply on-street parking towards the requirements from the county. And in our meeting with them, it was kind of made it clear that it wouldn't, and we had a conversation about auxiliary parking options at Vetzal. I'm not talk about this too deeply because I'm pretty sure Ray's going to talk about it as well. But as far as the on-street parking goes, in order to have parking there, which I think you need to develop the frontage along the front of the property. And so that basically you need to have a sidewalk, curb, and gutter. And that might be a requirement anyways of the project in general. Currently in our design and in our budgeting, we're not showing the cost of that sidewalk, curb, and gutter. So I just want to point that out. And when it came to the setback, we were a three foot setback minimum was all that was required, which would be accomplished by the sidewalk and the frontage development. So there was no issue there. It's just basically how do we satisfy the parking requirement from the county? So we our civil engineer created his drainage and grading plan. This is a sample of that. I want to point out some of the areas of importance to that. In order to on the right side of the screen, we have our 10 space parking lot. That's currently what our design shows. That includes the ADA. That supports a 5,000 square foot skate park entirely. You know, if we're only doing 5,000, that supply is all we need, and we don't have any other issues, except for that we have to build a retaining wall to push back into the slope in order to create enough space in order to provide all that parking. And retaining walls are expensive, and the current specification is for a 12 foot tall wall, which is a fairly significant cost item. In order to drain the slope, we have to create a swale that runs across the slope. So you see the drainage swale running along the entire backside of the park that leads to an infiltration basin. And the infiltration basin is really just a depression where the water is going to be held, and it's going to seep into the ground. It's going to infiltrate into the ground. And then there's drain lines within the connecting the parking lot and the skate park that also daylight into that basin, also to seep into the ground. So we did a second design concept with the new information that we had. We changed the shape of the park. We actually added a little bit more square footage in the process, but you can, we moved the seating position. You can see the new parking lot design. You can see the retaining wall as it sits. And here's a little bit better view of, you can see how the swale wraps along the edge of the park at the base of the slope. It drains into a retention basin at the bottom of the screen. We also made modifications to the design, the skate design a little bit based on the stormwater system. Also, we got some additional input from users, so we made some changes there. We added a hipped element in the top corner that aided in flow lines a little bit in the park. And here is just a representation of sidewalk continuing with the frontage development and where the wall would sit and what it's retaining, the material of earth that it's pushing back in order to create that larger parking lot. So you mentioned not having a discussion of budget of Prop 68. I will just say that some of the work that we are doing would help satisfy filing requirements for that. So some of our appendixes would be the information we've generated could help to apply for that. I won't go into more detail than that. We did an engineer's estimate of cost for the construction of the park. I'm not sure my screen is cut off a little bit. But the cost of the skate park went up. We tried to value engineer it from the first budget that we did. And as a matter of fact, we did value engineer some of the line items. But then some of the things got added because of the parking, because of the retaining wall and a more realized drainage system. It actually pushed our construction cost up a little bit. And that is the reality of this site. It's pretty much an undeveloped space. And so in order to meet, you know, planning standards and building standards codes. We're having to do peripheral development of the site in order to support the skate park. And so in my report, I kind of try to do a justification of some of these numbers. And all I'm going to say for in today's conversation is that the cost of the skate park itself is right in line with what a standard skate park should cost. It's and that's in about the 50 plus per square foot dollar mark for skate park construction. It's the peripheral stuff that then starts pushing up the cost per square foot a little bit higher than what a standard skate park alone cost would be. We also put together a schedule, an A schedule and a B schedule. The A schedule really represents the time for the pre-application process to take place. And it really shows about 8 months worth of work to apply, generate all the material, the information needed, work back and forth with the county to get approval for and to get the change of land use. As I said, as I said earlier, part of the design process actually starts during this phase of the project, and ideally construction drawings would be completed so that as soon as the permit is received, construction could start shortly after that. And then if we did a standard schedule that, and it shows about 5 months of construction to get the park built. And that shows the park being complete by the end of 2022. Maintenance was also brought up, and, you know, in this style park, concrete skate parks are very well engineered and durable. We've engineered them to be pretty durable. We have special concrete mixes and lots of steel in the concrete. And as I said, the soil conditions here are good for construction. So really when it comes to skate park maintenance, it's mostly about, you know, cleanup or unfortunately, you know, graffiti or sticker removal, which can be more of an issue in certain communities than others. Sometimes there's some cracks that will appear. Cracks are inevitable. And I say that because what's unique about a skate park is it's a monolithic concrete structure. There's no expansion joints that are built within them to allow it to move internally. So, and that's done for safety for the users so that they don't trip on those expansion joints. And just by the nature of how that's built, you will have some cracking, some slight cracking, but nothing that is nothing that would be considered an issue. And those can be maintained basically by caulking those and then general cleanup and paint touch up maybe on some of the powder coated metal parts. And I like to use third party information whenever I can to kind of justify our own assumptions. And Tony Hawk Foundation has a document that they put out where they suggest that the average cost of maintenance for an average skate park is about $2,000 a year. And I think that for this skate park, this style of construction, this size, that 50% of that is probably an appropriate number for that. And I just want to point out that is for, like I said, touch up and things like that, or maybe, you know, some cleanup, but it doesn't include like standard trash pickup and removal. Let's see. And for some reason, my slideshow is frozen. Can you guys still hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. So I really only have one or two slides left. So it's not clicking forward, but I'll just speak to them because they're not images anyways. And really it's my conclusion, which is that construction of a skate park in this location is feasible. When it comes to, you know, in some ways, when it comes to the physical characteristics of the site, it's optimal. You know, the soil conditions are great and the infiltration for the soil and stormwater management is great. So no issues there. The size of the area that we have to use and the parking requirement and the retaining wall drive up the cost. So it becomes like the cost of the skate park is also another consideration, obviously. but there's nothing that we see about it that should be other than the parking situation. And I think Ray will talk more about that and some other items as well. But in our initial report, we didn't see anything that should cause any restrictions to build in this location. And in fact, I think that, a very cool little skate park that's, I think, the appropriate size for the community could be built there. It'd be fun and safe and challenging and I think a great asset to your community. So, yeah, I'm still not clicking for it. So I think I'm just going to call it at that point and let Ray follow up on some additional items. And if you want to ask me, I'm sorry, if you want to ask me questions now, I'm able to do that.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Spahn, for the presentation. I appreciate it. I have a request also. That presentation was very helpful in an overview of the data and the information. Can you make that presentation available to us, please?
Yeah,
because we have several ways in which it can be used, not the least of which I think that providing it to our PROS Commission members would help them in reviewing the information that they need to review. So that would be very much appreciated.
Sure, absolutely.
And as we have Mr. Spahn available to us, what I'd like to ask is if there are board members who would like to ask questions of Mr. Spahn as we have him available to us here. Director Farmer.
Yes, thank you, President Steidel, and thank you, Aaron, for a very complete report and also including it in our board agenda packet so we could have read it ahead of time. So I'd like to ask you two questions. First off, I notice that there are two different parking designs for the two different skate parks. So I'm wondering if the parking design for the second park, which seems to have more parking spaces, can that be put into the first skate park design? Is that possible?
I believe so. I don't believe that we didn't change the width of the area. I think we only changed the depth of it. So yes, I think the second parking lot design could go in the first. I'd like to add to this thought one second as well, which is that if we didn't have to provide all of the parking offsite on this location, if there's a way for us to provide some of the parking elsewhere, then we could reduce the size of the lot and reduce the cost of the retaining wall on the back. And so that's, Ray's going to get more into that, but I just want to say that there are things that can change about this design and about the shape and configuration of that parking lot that will have a dramatic effect on our bottom line at the end.
All right. Well, thank you. And I'd like to ask one more question with regard to which design we, the board, the district are going to choose. I don't know how President Steidel would like to address this, but I'd like to hear from the skateboarders that are in the audience as to which design they prefer and maybe why. So the rest of us that don't know much about skateboarding could be a little more educated on this. So I don't know, is that possible at all, President Steidel?
Well, the difference between the two designs really have to do with the incorporation of additional parking and the capture basin for the water runoff. Am I mistaken in that, Mr. Spahn, or that's the real difference between the two?
I would say that there's an 80% or 70% similarity between the two designs. There is a difference between the two. A lot of the difference was what was based on, we changed our shape in the area that we had to work with because of the retaining wall. So I think we actually increased the size in the second design to the first. And I will also say that as this project moves forward, there really should be another go at the conceptual design. I think that once you've established the parameters of the project and say, yes, the project can move forward. This is what the retaining wall is going to look like. This is it's going to be its position. This is the size of the parking lot that we're going to use. That a skate park designer should modify this concept one more time before going into the construction drawing phase. And that's really also an opportunity to kind of enhance it and add some more bells and whistles to it as well.
Well, thank you. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
Mr. Spahn, I appreciate your reference in terms of having another conceptual design, but I guess I would ask then, does that mean that we're not in a position of knowing what the final potential cost for the park is?
No, the cost of the skate park is pretty much based on its size. And so any modifications to the features within the space itself are not going to adjust the skate park. So the cost of the skate park itself. The only thing that I would say is that we're kind of setting up a worst case scenario pricing structure right now by the size of the parking lot, by trying to put all the parking off street, by putting the retaining wall in place. So I think that everything from here is an opportunity to maybe value engineer and reduce cost, not increase it. And so this is really primarily a preliminary grading plan, preliminary drainage plan, and a preliminary skate park design plan. And all the numbers in there are kind of worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. So as I said, I think that your total number is going to come down and not increase.
All right. In looking at the pricing relative to the stormwater runoff capture basin, mm-hmm. and no matter how the configuration of the parking occurs, there's still just the hard, the space of that parking as a covered surface, and the retaining wall that was all part of the work that was done by Mr. Soto in his estimate. Is that correct?
It is correct.
And so, and if I understand correctly, his estimate, which was with the work content and the actual physical work content, was somewhere around $350,000.
Approximately. Some of his numbers dovetailed with ours. And so we didn't put his number in entirely at 350. But a large portion of that cost is the retaining wall. A third of the cost of his work is just the retaining wall. And so it would be my goal to value engineer that retaining wall to decrease it in size and reduce that cost. I would hope that the cost of that wall could be reduced by 50%. And so that would, when I say that, work going forward could help to reduce costs. There's a few key areas where work could be done to value engineer. And that's
okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Director Gray.
Yeah. Thank you, President Seidel, and thank you, Mr. Spahn, for the very thorough presentation. I had a couple of questions on the cost estimate too, and one of them is since we have been working with Monte Soto and Civil Design Studios on another smaller project, restroom installation in the ranch, East Ranch, and we noticed that there was a preliminary estimate for the restroom. It's a prefabricated building and then installation being one amount. Then it came back, Mr. Soto came back with a more refined estimate, which added a significant amount of money and included a 20% inflation and contingency percentage. My first question on this report that we saw today, is anything like that included in that number, that overall number for the project? I think of 661,000, does it have a, say, a percentage for, you know, inflation or contingencies? Another question, this is a broader question, is, and you mentioned peripheral development and the need for site, things that are related to the site. And, you know, of course, we're talking a lot about the parking lot and the retaining wall and the drainage. But do you have a rough idea of what that adds to the cost in contrast to putting the skate park in a location where you basically have flat ground, you already have parking, and you don't have any major issues with drainage runoff? I'm just wondering what those site-specific costs come to.
Well, the So I'm assuming you're referring to the Fiscalini Ranch location.
Well, that's I mean, that's a possibility. Yeah.
Yeah. So the well, obviously the difference is in between the two is that there's pre-existing parking in the one location and not in this location. The drainage system cost would be, I think, pretty much identical. We still need to drain it in the same way. We'd still have the same amount of impervious surface. Mm-hmm. You know, the numbers that we put in are, you know, we didn't put them out and get three bids back to like get what is the lowest competitive price for each of these line items. We use basically engineers' estimates that usually have some you know, extra built into them so that they're a little safe. We did not go back through at the end of the project and say, all right, let's multiply everything by 20%. And I will also say that, you know, currently costs are high for construction and materials because of shortages in the supply chain. Costs are higher than normal and construction is higher than normal. And so we are seeing those numbers come back down. So we didn't, you know, we debated whether we should also add it, bump things up for additional costs like that. But, you know, as a project, we probably likely being getting built next year. We didn't feel like this. It was just too hard to make a projection like that, so we didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And having built a number of these projects myself, I'm fairly confident that what we're saying it can be built for. Like the number that we have a skate park factored in at is the healthy price for building a skate park. I'm sure there's ways to. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's contractors that. Build it for that or for less.
So let me ask Director Gray if you're satisfied having gotten your answers. Mr. D'Anzo has had his hand up. I'm beginning to wonder whether we should just move to Mr. D'Anzo's presentation to help round out the conversation and to move this forward, considering we're already an hour into our 2 hours.
I'm fine. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. D'Anzo?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, President Steidel. A question I did want to ask before I go on to share my slides. Is it my understanding, Aaron, that the first design was the one that you showed at the at Lynn's restaurant when you went for Skate Cambria, and then you incorporated their comments for the second conceptual design?
You know, to be quite honest, I believe that we developed the first design based on the information we got from that first meeting, and then we showed it and gathered comment on it, and then modified that design based on those comments, and then based on the additional input we got from Monty in the civil work.
Okay, I want to just ask that publicly, but okay, so I'll go ahead and share my screen. So as Mr. Spahn mentioned, we had a pre-application meeting with the County of San Luis Obispo, and our initial approach. So I'm just going to share a couple of slides just to outline the elements of that meeting and what it was about. We presented our initial approach to the county to initiate this permitting process. And our approach was, though there was no permit prior to building the original skate park, we acknowledged that there was a skate park there. And we wanted to just replace, you know, our focus was replacing that with a more beautiful skate park that would actually have really good land use improvements in that area and would actually improve it overall. So the pre-application meeting, so the conceptual design that Spahn Ranch had and all the engineering, the preliminary engineering work that was done, all of that played a really important role in establishing that fact that instead of coming it from a point of view of, are you even allowed to build a skate park there? It went to, okay, good, let's move forward with trying to build a skate park there and what the permitting issues would be. So we presented that at the pre-application meeting. We presented that history, we presented the preliminary design and all of the elements going into it. And as Aaron mentioned, we are going to move forward in what's called the county development plan, which is in the coastal speak, coastal permitting speak, is like a conditional use permit. And this development plan permitting process, what's good about it is that it calls for a higher level of discretionary items, meaning we can get waivers, we can get we can get exemptions for things that are normally in the land use standard, but in this case we would need exemptions for, which there are a lot that we need. So the permitting process engaged Public Works, engaged County Parks, engaged the Building Department and the Planning Department, which is all in the same department. So all of these folks were in that room where we were able to discuss this. We discussed some details of what we would expect to provide moving forward with developing this this project. And some of the challenges and the exemptions that are going to be required are things like a bathroom, for example. Aaron didn't mention that in the presentation because it wasn't something that they assumed that would be needed, but we verified it at this meeting. Is that embedded in the building code? Under this category, by the way, the category for this is an amusement park category, and that's what planning is approaching this project. So a bathroom is going to be required, and I'll talk about this in a separate slide because it's its own talking point. But Aaron also mentioned parking. Parking is going to require some exemptions. Currently, there are 11 spaces in this preliminary design. We can approach that with either getting an exemption from the Planning Commission, saying that get an exemption for 11 spaces as opposed to 12, or can we possibly find parking elsewhere that the district also owns, for example, like the Vets Hall parking lot. There's separate challenges with that because in order for that to be accessed, there would most likely need to be a crosswalk built right in that area to cross over into the Vets Hall area. And Public Works is also needing to get back with us on that because they would need to make an exemption for building a separate crosswalk, especially when it's so close to the corner. So that's going to be a challenge there. If we were to utilize spaces across the street in the Vets Hall parking lot. And the other challenge and that would also require exemption is the setbacks issue. And I think Mr. Spahn mentioned that already, like the 3 feet minimum setback. We are willing to, the planning is optimistic we can get that exemption, which would mean though we would most likely need to build a curb, gutter, and sidewalk as an extension from the library. So that is something that we would need to address. And also there's this challenge of the residential proximity to the project. The standard setback for an amusement park to a residential area is 1,000 feet. The residences above the area there, the uphill, is less than 1,000 feet. So we would need to present good reasons to get an exemption for that. And then relating to that, other studies would also need to be done, like a sound study would need to be done. A geological slash engineering study would also need to be done relating to the slope stability that we would build the retaining wall, and also some of the other improvements around that that slope, because it is a pretty steep slope and it's considered a geological sensitive area. And also environmental will also need to be done to determine the habitat and species around that area, especially the drainage site. There's right now there are no Monterey pines in that area, but if there are other habitat and both vegetarian and biological that would need to be mitigated for, we would also need to determine that in an environmental study. And during construction, this designation is also deemed an archaeologically sensitive area as well. So during construction, that would need to be done, which is standard for a lot of projects in our area. So that's to be expected, which wasn't a surprise for us at all. And other things relating to this is just review analysis based on all of the different agencies within public works, within the county. Things like, when I mean review analysis, things like if we decide to use the bathroom, sizing the bathroom, what are the demand analysis, getting utility encroachments to connect the bathroom, things like that. FEMA floodplain considerations, these are part of what I group under review analysis. So all of these things would need to be done. And also just a verification on the wall to be sure that it's within code standards, and also that the drainage facility, even though it is shown already in our plan, there just needs to be a verification that it's sized appropriately in consideration of the FEMA floodplain implications as well. So these are some of the things that we would need to consider as part of developing the permit for this. And some of these things we included in the cost estimates. We kind of grouped it under permitting, we kind of grouped it also under other studies, things like that. But we didn't include the curb and gutter and sidewalk as part of this. So that would need to be considered as well, should we move forward in construction. So let me talk about the bathroom option. So there's two ways to approach this, which would also require some exemptions that we would need to bring before the Planning Commission for their approval. Number one, we could build a bathroom on site. The bathroom would need to be sized, based on the amount of usage that the park is estimated to have per day. I did ask about the possibility of having one unisex stall to meet this need, but based on current code standards, we would most likely need a stall, one for both for male and female for this bathroom site. And building a bathroom on site would require additional parking spaces to be used, and which would also mean that we would need to get an exemption for parking, for even reducing the parking even more. So that's one option. And building the bathroom on site would mean a little bit more increased costs, because we would need to connect, you know, we would actually build a physical bathroom there, you know, similar to, you know, maybe not as big as but what was sized for the Fiscalini Ranch, but it's going to be on that order. And we would also need to, the construction costs would need to be considered for the utilities connections for both water and sewer. Because we would need to connect a sewer lateral to the street. There is a sewer main there. And then there's also alternative bathroom sites possibilities. If we can't build a restroom on site, which is why, you know, we decided we weren't going to show that bathroom on site yet, because there's a possibility we can get an exemptions using possibly the county library might be a possibility for a bathroom site, using their existing bathroom, or the vets hall, which again, it's across the street, which would require us building a crosswalk, which again, it's the Public Works has not decided yet whether that would even be allowed. And these bathrooms would need to be open during the skate park hours. So that might trigger an issue with operations moving forward, you know, because someone would either need to, keep that bathroom either at the library or the vets hall to open and close it during skate park hours. And there would also need to be an analysis as far as an increased demand capacity for those restrooms, which is something we can do in-house. I can provide that, but meaning that if the county library only had, you know, certain capacity for that restroom was only sized for a certain capacity per day, and we're adding capacity for the skate park users, there might be a possibility that we would need to provide, say, an extra stall or an extra sink or something of that nature, similar to the vets hall bathroom, should we use that option as well. We would have to determine if it was sized appropriately and if there's capacity to add the skate park users. And again, the challenge for that is we would need to, that these facilities would need to be accessible during skate park hours. And also when I mean accessible, I also mean that there needs to be some, that it needs to be available for ADA, for handicap use. So what this means if we have a scenario where the bathroom at the vet's hall is the only bathroom that's going to be available, the crosswalk would have to be ADA accessible all the way through, which might be a challenge, but again, everything's possible. So that that was really the big item that came from this meeting, is that we need to solve the bathroom issue, either building one on site or provide alternatives. And all of these would require exemptions that we would need the Planning Commission to approve. And that is, in summary, what we discussed there at our pre-application meeting. And now I'll open it up for questions. And the owl is my favorite bird. That's my presentation. And I'll again, and Aaron and I are available for any questions.
Thank you. And Mr. Denzel, I'll ask the same of you, please. The presentation information that you put together, if you can make that available for PROS in their review of the information, as we eventually will direct them to review this information. If you can make that available for them also, that would be appreciated.
Absolutely, yes, no problem.
Thank you. So then bringing it back to the board for questions that you may have. Director Dean.
Hi, I keep hearing about skate park hours, but no indication about what skate park hours are and how would you control the time period of the use of the skate park. I don't see any enclosed fencing that can be locked or anything. And so thinking about that and kids maybe wanting to go there after dark, I haven't heard anything about lighting issues either. So those are a couple of the questions that I had. I think other than that, I think between Mr. Spahn and Ray, most of my other questions were answered. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Dean. Mr. Danzo?
The lighting is not considered, was not considered, and we won't, other than possible security lighting, but I doubt it would be very minimal. And skate park hours, I believe it was a nebulous sun up, sundown kind of a situation.
Okay. Mr. Spahn, do you have something to add to that?
Sure. We did not include lighting, even though it would be nice to have lighting. So because a lot of adults like to skate and they're not available to do that, you know, until after hours. But lighting was not considered for this location. And part of it was to do with the homes that are located above. And I just wanted to make the additional point that when it came to the 1,000-foot standard for amusement park, that's a standard, but the truth is that every skate park in the county is either the same distance or less to homes than what is looked at here. So I don't think that there's, when it comes to the distance, I mean, it might require having a sound study, but I would be highly surprised if it was deemed not viable because of that distance.
Okay. Thank you for the feedback.
Yeah.
Director Gray.
Yes, thank you, President Steidel. I just have a short question about the report mentioned in Aaron's report to us about a street setback of 50 feet, standard recreation setback. It sounds to me like from what you're both saying, you and Mr. D'Enzo, that is not an issue. I could address this to Mr. D'Enzo, perhaps.
Yes. the amusement park designation is 25 foot, and mm-hmm. so, which still wouldn't meet it. But yes, we would need to get an exemption for that, and just a preliminary solution is a curb and gutter sidewalk would help meet that exemption for us.
And just one comment related to what Director Dean was asking about. As I remember, and I think there's still pictures up on the web, the old skate park was fenced, and it had hours, I think, of 7 a.m. to dusk or something like that. So it was strictly for daytime use only, and it was fenced off, as I remember. So just for purposes of our discussion, it might be worth noting that. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Ray. Director Farmer.
Yes, thank you, President Steidel. One thing I'd like to ask with regard to the restroom, is there a possibility of making an arrangement to have like an executive porta potty? I mean, there's some that we're all used to that you go in and there's all it is a toilet. But they have some that are like when really, how could we say it, with people with greater means have an event like that. They have a porta potty that's larger, has washing facilities inside, and is just a little bit more comfortable, for want of a better term. Is it a possibility of using one or two like that at this site?
Executive
Enzo, I guess you can address that.
Yes, I forgot to mention that the bathroom issue came up because of a temporary bathroom. Even like some of these really nice porta potties that I've seen does not meet that standard. And temporary bathroom, like a porta potty, is only is for temporary reasons only. Like if there's a huge event that needs it, that would be, that those are the only considerations, or during construction, things like that, but not for a permanent site like this.
Okay. Thanks, Ray.
All right. Questions from any of the other directors? All right. And Mr. Danzo, I recognize that this probably isn't something you can answer directly, but it seems like there have been several things here that have the potential of additional costs that really don't have anything to do with value engineering the site, the curb gutters, sidewalk, potential of a crosswalk, even if the county hasn't decided whether that's a possibility. The archaeological sensitivity would require potentially someone on site during construction. And the reservoir sizing, what is presented so far, I'm curious as to whether it, in the way that it's expressed, really will be the sizing that'd be needed for the site, because it isn't just handling the water runoff of the site itself. It's handling the water runoff coming to it from surrounding areas, as well as the water runoff from the hillside and slope, which potentially could block a swale if there was, if it was enough runoff that it was more than just water. Mr. Spahn, are you indicating that you have some information to add in that regard, or?
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to contribute as well.
Sure.
The size of the basin could be increased. I don't think that there's a challenge to doing that. And I think that the volume of material that maybe is coming down the slope is being considered in the design that Monty put together. But I also wanted to go back to mention, to talk about a couple other things, which is that it was my feeling from the conversation with the county that there is opportunity to apply for changes to the standards. And in the case of the parking, for example, normally they don't like to count on-street parking towards the capacity of a facility, because in theory it's taking away from parking from another use. But in the situation of this park, it's really not taking away, it's not developed for any other use presently, and it wouldn't be taking away from any other use. I think that there's an opportunity to use the street parking that would be available by developing doing the sidewalk and storm and gutter to provide additional parking. And I think there's an opportunity to apply for that to count towards our needs, or to ask for a waiver to basically say, can we reduce our parking needs to 6 or 8 spots? So I didn't get the feeling that there was a hard and fast no or even yes to some of these items. It's like put together a report for them to review. And so that's why the cost of the sidewalk to develop the front is kind of nominal compared to the cost of the retaining wall. And if we're able to provide 5 additional parking spaces in the front of the park, and county will accept that, count that towards our need, or even just reduce our need, then we're able to value and we're able to bring down the cost of the build with the retaining wall, even though we're increasing some of our costs for the sidewalk and the curb and gutter in the front. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts that you know, as you go forward with planning, you're able to come up with design solutions that solve some of these problems. And even with the, you know, the restroom is more of a challenge, you know, and I didn't address these during my conversation because I knew Ray was, and the restroom seems like the largest new hurdle to deal with this project and the cost of that. And, you know, there was conversation about using the restroom at the vets hall, or conversation about, is it possible to use the restroom at the library? Or is there, you know, the porta potty, is there a solution there? Or is there a combined solution with all of the above? The same, I think it's the same scenario I feel like you can move forward with the land use permitting process, you know, apply for the permit, and then that opens up an interaction with the county where you're going back and forth trying to gather information and address some of these items and show them a plan for how you might deal with the parking, ask for, you know, a change on the, you know, number of spaces, talk about the restrooms, and see if they're open, you know, if they're open to approving some of that.
Thank you, Mr. Spahn. I'll let Mr. D'Anzo address that, as he's the project manager for it and he's familiar with the county and has worked in it.
Yeah, yes. The one thing I did want to say, and I wanted to control expectations too, because the takeaway from this with the permitting process is that it's a development plan, which means this higher level of discretionary, which means other than like the opposite of that is prescription, where you have to check off these boxes, and that's what it is. It's black and white. Here it's more, we need to be able to come up with really good reasons to bring before the planning commission to be a waive, you know, to have a waiver, to have an exemption, or even to have a change in the land use standard. But we would have to present really good explanations, you know, similar to what Mr. Spahn already said with the parking issue. So I am confident we can get exemptions for all of those. The bathroom is what is going to be hard. there are some exemptions we can get for that, and some exemptions need to happen for us to even build the bathroom. But again, you know, it's still all possible. So it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. So
And
to answer your original question about the drainage basin, and keep in mind that the drainage basin is sized based on the impervious development that we add to the project. So it's not necessarily like, you know, do we need to handle drainage for every scenario? You know, because there's already been historical drainage there that's you know, the site already has. So
okay, I appreciate that. Yeah, I have to admit that the idea of the parking item in terms of access to the street sounds plausible until I think of Friday afternoons in the farmer's market, and then a crosswalk are the part that I think will require some significant thought process. Vice President Al.
Thank you. First of all, I just have a couple of questions, but I do want to say that as we're asking these questions, I don't think the issue here is whether or not to go forward. After all, any project is feasible if you have enough money and enough time, and you're not contradicting the laws of physics. But I guess there's two issues that I just want to be sure that everything is addressed. So as we go forward, our eyes are open, and whatever decisions that people make are made within full understanding of what's at stake here. So two questions. I'll just give them both. One is in it to either Mr. Spahn or Mr. D'Enzo. The term value engineering is one I'm not familiar with, so it really would help a definition of that so I can get a little clearer picture. I can see how you're using it, but I still don't think I have my hands around it. But the other thing I think is, and as I read the appendices and everything, of course, it's kind of detailed and a bit, it's very detailed, let's put it that way. And I don't recall whether a study had been done regarding the stability of the slope that's going to be above the skate park and the possibility of the residents up on top of that slope, what happens if they overwater? We've seen this in other areas. I'll point to you, La Conchita, down a community on 101, where the farmers up above put too much water on their land and half of the town got flooded with a mudslide. So I just would like to know, has that issue been addressed or what state we're in on that? So two things, the definition of a term and perhaps a little discussion about the stability of that slope.
So Mr. D'Enzo, you'd probably be in the best position as far as the stability.
Yes, so to answer the first question, Director Howell, so the value engineering is a fun term we like to use. Some people also in the community thought that the design that Spahn Ranch did is ready for construction. It was never intended to be a construction document, and that's why there are line items in the cost estimate to talk about actual construction, the documents and engineering and all of these items. So value engineering basically just means is having another set of eyes, engineering eyes in the context of engineering, to look to see, are there any cost-saving measures we can do? Or not even necessarily cost-saving measures, but it would add value to the project, you know, maybe the same cost, but it would have greater benefits. So we're looking for that, you know, so things like reduction of the retaining wall, maybe reduction of the size of the basin to add more parking spots, for example, or maybe the ability to make the size of the skate park bigger because we can, add more parking spots someplace else, you know, things like that. That's what a value engineering would be. And as far as slope stability, I did mention that, you know, that is something that is one of the studies we need to do just as part of the things that we need to provide to the county when it comes time for, you know, so when it's really one of the check boxes we need to check to be sure that the retaining wall will be consistent, will be sized and designed so that it would handle the slope of that particular hill. Oh, and regarding the fear about overwatering, quite frankly, the nightmare scenario for me is like when a water main breaks. So I think about that from time to time around here, but I try not to. But as far as like someone overwatering, you know, and a hose goes down the hill, there's actually more. There's more impacts from a storm than there would be from something like that happening, but other than a water main breaking, but that's not what we're talking about here. So.
Okay. Are there any other questions from directors? As we have Mr. D'Enzo and Mr. Spahn here with us. So I don't see any questions coming to either of you at this point. Mr. Spahn, was your hand just up or was there something else that?
Yeah, I just wanted to contribute to that last topic. Well, the one thing I would point out is that the swale along the slope is a mm-hmm. rock swale. So in a way it's its own infiltration system. The water that gets to the bottom of the slope has an opportunity to infiltrate in the ground before it gets to the bioswale, okay. To the infiltration basin. And also that the library gives us a body of information that's helpful towards the development of this site because they've gone through a lot of the same process. And some of their studies that they've done, both biological and slope study, can be used as starting information for any reports or information that you might need to generate for this site. And the fact that they've been able to be successful building there bodes well for this as well.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Unless there are other questions, I think I'd like to move on to the discussion that board members need to have in referring this information to the PROS Commission. Director Farmer?
Excuse me, I just want to make a brief observation. There's a member of the public who had their hand up earlier and then put it down and put it up and now has put it down. I'm wondering if we could, I know that usually we just allow people to speak in the beginning, but considering this is a different process than usual, is that possible?
Director Farmer, there may be one person that put them up by your suggesting it. There's been a second hand that's gone up, and I can see that this could go on probably potentially through. There's the third one. So no, we took public comment at the beginning, and that was stated in that manner, and it was described and gave the reasons for it. So no, we're going to move on in terms of the actions that the board needs to take for completion here. Director Gray?
Yes, thank you, President Steidel. Just to start the discussion, I'll try to frame the question, I guess, of what we do in referring this to the PROS Commission. In other words, what are our instructions, our questions? My big takeaway from this, from both presentations, Mr. Genzo's and Mr. Spahn's, is that there are considerable costs and complexities to putting a skate park of this size on the site that we're talking about. And I do think that as a responsible, fiscally responsible thing for both the private fundraising and for whatever we have to pay ultimately in terms of maintenance or whatever, is to consider alternative locations, because I think it, you know, we're talking about a restroom, for instance, having to be somehow either built or kind of arranged with other existing restrooms. Well, the East Ranch, endorsing the East Ranch directly, but the East Ranch there's a plan to have a restroom there and it'll be available. And parking, the East Ranch has like more than 90 parking places, which are almost unused. It's flat. You don't have the problems with slopes. You don't need a retaining wall. You do need some drainage, obviously, put in. You'll have archaeology and things like that and all sorts of other stuff. You're farther from homes. There are, I think we have to keep the idea of alternatives on the table, because it's from what I read and from what I hear here, the park itself, the skate park itself, is a fairly, maybe a $400,000, $380,000 project, but the costs of everything else might double it in this site. It might be much less than the other site. So that's my suggestion.
Thank you, Director Gray. I'll ask for the board's forbearance, just of an outline of something to potentially move us forward a little bit on this, because I do think it's important to provide some level of expectation or criteria to PROS from the board in its review, because it's such a wide open subject matter. So I have a couple of things I'd like to suggest that might be part of what we would consider in our direction to PROS. And the first one is not asking PROS to determine or answer how this gets paid for, because that's the responsibility of the board. The second item is to, by setting aside potential additional costs, asking them to review the exemptions needed and the requirements outlined in the permitting process, and consider the practicality of options offered in the Spahn Ranch presentation and Mr. Danzo's presentation. The third is determine any possible maintenance areas beyond the general visual and hardscape maintenance of the site itself. For instance, there are other areas that would require maintenance over time, such as the stormwater swale or the retaining wall or the reservoir or any associated piping. So it isn't just the visual of the
the skate park surface. And to review areas designated as TBD in the Spahn Ranch report for potential areas of impact. And in helping to have PROS take a look at that, I think also that it's important that there are several appendices that would be made available to them. In addition to the two presentation documents that were provided today in our meeting, there are about five appendices that I think are important. One is Appendix C, which is the soils engineering report, Appendix E, the infiltration report from GeoSolutions, Item F, the preliminary stormwater control plan from Mr. Soto, and the Appendix H, that actually is part of, in reference point to that, which is the engineering estimate for the parking lot, retaining wall, and drainage system. And then Appendix G, the site plan, which actually is part of the agenda package already. Mm-hmm. But I think that those appendices probably need to be provided to PROS as well for their consideration and reviewing the information. So if we were able to, I think we, the in asking the board members also to consider the item that Director Gray had made, whether that needs to be part of what we're directing to PROS at this time as well. And Mr. Danza, your hand is up. Is there something you'd like to add?
Yes, I raised my hand because I think asked the PROS to review some of those documents, the Appendix C, E, F, relating to the technical studies that were done. Moving forward in the permitting process, we would bring those to Public Works for them to review. Okay. And I alluded to it in my presentation, there's gonna need to be some questions answered by them. Relating to just the verification of some of those findings that we presented there. So it might not be as helpful for PROS to review, but they are welcome to review for questions. But just understand that we would need to present those to the county, specifically Public Works, to have them give us feedback.
All right. Okay. So in essence, then you're indicating that the appendices really are probably outside of what PROS needs to be.
I believe it.
Their focus to at this time, or?
I believe it would be. I mean, they can ask questions about it because I understand I'm sure the public has questions about it. And I would be glad to answer it in that format, so.
Okay, all right. Vice President Howell.
Thank you. I understand Mr. D'Anzo's point. I think as I see it, what I'd like to hear back from PROS is I'd like to hear a recommendation as to what the project should look like and where it should be sited. In that regard, I'd also like to have some preliminary, I would appreciate from them, excuse me, if it's appropriate. And this is why I think having the detail available to them is good, is to, in our own layman, and we're all laymen here, we're not experts, but in our own viewpoint, to try to determine our own feelings as, and in this case, PROS, how the PROS Commission evaluates the reasonableness of the estimates. In other words, how much unknowns remain after we have examined everything? Because as we go forward, I mean, clearly we're looking at, depending on where the project is sited, there still are a number of unknown areas that of cost that would need to be addressed. So I think to identify the unknowns at the least, and to try to evaluate the reasonableness of the price estimates which are given, I think it's useful if that the underlying studies are at least available. I did have one concern, and so again, I would like PROS to address this, is the fact that I'm a little concerned that some of the cost estimates may be overly optimistic, that there is other than the grading estimate from Mr. Soto, which had a 20% contingency. It bothers me then that that other contingencies are not explicitly called out. So that just concerns me. And again, so what I'm talking about is we're looking at, I mean, yes, the project is feasible. There's no question about that. And of course, if the majority of the board wants to cite it where, you know, as the site is presently proposed, I don't have a problem with that either. To close my comment, I'm hoping that when PROS takes this under its consideration, that it will interact with Skate Cambria to the fullest extent possible, so that some of these issues can be, so that what comes back to the board is something that PROS supports and that the Skate Cambria people can support. And the reason I'm saying this is that as I see it right now, and as we've dealt with this project, the considerable bulk of the funds will come from fundraising efforts done by Skate Cambria. And so since Skate Cambria is paying the largest part of the bill, they should probably decide if they want to raise the $60,000 to $70,000 to $700,000 to put the skate park in the proposed location. I don't have a problem with that. I think where the board gets involved is there's a couple of issues. One is our staff costs in terms of project management, for example. If Mr. D'Enzo is taking the time, that means he's probably not taking the time on something else. Or in any case, we have to, that is a cost. To the district, any other staff time that the district has, or anything else that in terms of our facilities folks is what they're doing. So we have some additional project costs that are not part of the estimate, but it's just something that as we do business that we have to, that I would like to hear from PROS. I'd like to hear that addressed as well. I've said enough. Anyway, I think you get the gist here. So I'm really talking more to the PROS Commission at this point, but I think as a board member, that's what I'm looking for from them is a concrete recommendation. This is the skate park design that we think is the best, and this is the whatever location is decided upon, that is what their recommendation is. And to that, I think we need to provide them with the maximum amount of information, as much as they're capable of taking in.
All right. Any other feedback or positions from directors? Director Farmer.
Yes, thank you. First, I want to thank Vice President Howell for an excellent overview of what we'd like to reference to the PROS Commission and other thoughts that he had. I just want to bring up one thing with regard to cost, and he was talking about the Skate Cambria folks who have already raised a considerable amount of money, which is like quite admirable to be sure. But also, you know, on page 22 of our agenda packet here, we're also talking about Prop 68 grant funding. And that shouldn't be forgotten either as a potential for obtaining some funds, like I say, for this project. So I just wanted to put that out. And hopefully the district will be investigating that in the near future. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Vice President Howell.
Actually, thank you. I just have one other thing that I wanted to pass on to the PROS Commission. It was a concern I heard from at least one of the speakers during public comment. We haven't heard too much from, I wish I could, let me see if I can quote him exactly. I can't find it. There is a time issue involved. A lot of these folks that are supporting this and are working so hard for it, what concerns me is if the project takes so much time, some of those folks will be away at college before it happens. So I think there needs to be a realistic discussion as PROS goes forward with this. Is again, part of the discussion probably needs to be the actual time to completion, because for this to be useful for some of the people presently involved, if we go beyond, anyway, I think time is an issue. And one of the people that was speaking spoke directly to that. I don't know why I can't find it now.
Yeah, that was Jeff Smith.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's a skate? He's a skateboarder in his mid-30s. Just to let you know, but he was mainly concerned about the young people that are like active right now and wanting to have the park available, like you said, before they go off to college.
Right. Yeah. Here's his quote. He said, "Yeah, done while the kids are still kids." So this is. I'm just saying this should be a consideration as PROS goes forward and as the Skate Cambria people go forward to come forward to us with a real recommendation. I think they need to consider the time that it may take to completion as well. It's probably pretty obvious. I think I'm belaboring the obvious on that one.
No, I think that's appropriate, Vice President Howell. In fact, that's part of something that the PROS commissioner should take a look at, because there is a schedule and a timeline associated within the package. And there is, you know, some potential of sensitivity in some of it, because several of the references for some of the actual work of the grading and shaping and the aggregate base and everything else are happening into the October, November timeframe and of 2022. And that could be a difficult time of year to be able to accomplish that. All right. So I guess then I had suggested four items. I don't know if any of those were, you know, fit into the framework of what folks thought of as the motion for being able to provide some direction. Director Gray?
Just your request to the president. Could you recap those?
Sure. Okay. The first is just more of an information point. That we are not asking PROS to determine or answer how this gets paid for.
Okay.
That's responsibility of the board.
Mm-hmm.
And then to review the exemptions needed and the requirements that were outlined in the permitting review process and consider the practicality of options if possible. I realize that there are some things in those options that have a lot of variables to them, but to be able to consider that. To determine some possible maintenance areas beyond the general visual and hardscape maintenance, which were estimated at $1,000 a year. And review areas that are designated within the report for potential areas of impact, that the TBDs.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't so much the idea that it has to be resolved or come up with something, or it's more a function of, okay, where are some additional areas of impact that need to be considered as the overall decision and part of the recommendation they make. So, Director Howell, you had indicated that your recommendation is what it should look like and where it should be sited, which talks to some degree of what Director Gray had mentioned also. So I don't know whether that could be additive to what I just outlined. Director Gray?
It can be additive. Yeah, I don't know if it's if it makes it too complex, but it sounds to me like if you had to simplify, we could move that we refer this proposal, current proposal, to the PROS Commission, instructing them to consider in their analysis and bringing back a recommendation. And I'm not going to recap them, but the points that President Steidel made and the potential effect of choosing an alternative site, one or more alternative sites. In other words, put that option into the hopper that they have to look at in making a recommendation.
Okay, so the last one that you said was stated as the potential of effect of an alternate site,
yeah.
An alternate site.
Mm-hmm. One or more alternate sites, actually. I'm not going to prejudice it specifically.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So in the way that it was stated by Director Gray, if I can paraphrase, is to consider and evaluate and bring back a recommendation to the board regarding the skate park design. Mm-hmm. And consideration of its location. Is that too simplistic, or does that?
Consideration of its location and consideration of alternative locations of, you know.
Consideration.
Yeah, go ahead. Vice President Howell was.
Vice President Howell.
Yeah, I think I don't want to receive a list of alternate locations. I want them to recommend a location. I don't want the board to have to decide between locations. So it is my intention that that whole thing gets resolved at the PROS level before we ever see it. Now, but perhaps Director Gray, that's not your, I mean, maybe you would rather discuss it at the board level. I'm not, my opinion.
I think it might be too much to ask of them to make an analysis of the alternatives at that level. I mean, maybe it's, I do think maybe to present alternative, you know, basically present us with alternatives, I don't think is an insurmountable task.
I am going to interrupt this in that we have already exceeded by a couple of minutes the time frame for our meeting today. So I'm going to need to ask for an extension. I'd like to suggest 15 minutes and get visual confirmation from board members that they would accept extending by 15 minutes. Okay. All accepted in that 5-0. So we will extend to 12:15. Thank you. I apologize for the interruption.
Yeah. So
Director Gray.
Well, my answer, my view on this is that I do think that we can. I mean, there won't be many alternatives. There'd be two alternatives essentially, probably. But I think it does need to be brought back to the board level to look at what the case for one or the other is in terms of potential cost, potential complexity, and so forth. And I think we can, you know, they're just going to make a recommendation, and I think we can come back, we can approach that with, you know, our knowledge and Mr. D'Enzo's knowledge, Mr. Spahn's knowledge, and make a judgment based on the recommendation that maybe says, This alternative does that.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to admit I'm with Vice President Howell in this regard. This is taking it in a whole different direction than what this has to do with having accepted the report from Spahn Ranch and from the planning information that was brought back. That was not considered part of the data that we got today for our consideration. And, you know, eventually they may come back with a recommendation that says we need to consider the viability of other a recommendation that may consider the viability of another site, but that would be the recommendation coming from them, not that it would go through all of the process of evaluating or making decisions or having the cost impacts associated with it, because we're not asking them to look at the cost impacts. That's our job.
Okay.
Vice President Howell.
Yeah, I guess I don't want to go too long on this particular point, but I think that, again, the issue is let the PROS Commission negotiate with the skate park people as to what is desired, because remember, that's where the bulk of the funds are coming from. And now I'll give you a scenario there where the board might be asked to reconsider. Presuming that after the negotiations between PROS and the Skate Cambria folks is complete, what PROS recommends is something that Skate Cambria is not real happy with. That would be the opportunity for Skate Cambria to appeal that to the board when the board discusses the issue. So I don't know that I'd, otherwise, I think we're just redoing, if we're just renegotiating over again. So I'd rather have the PROS commissioners and the Skate Cambria people do the hard work of coming up with an agreeable plan rather than have us get in at that level. Now, where we could, I could see it coming to the board and we say, look, if you put it, you know, as presented to us, we see additional costs that are not considered and that the board is simply not willing to undertake. And at that point, we could send it back to PROS and say, we're sorry, we simply cannot economically or for whatever reason support the recommendation as given. Please go back and reconsider. I'd rather have those negotiations take place because I think it gives, out of the context of a board meeting, because I think it gives more opportunity for interaction between with the public in a somewhat less formal situation. So that would be my issue there. Let the hard work be done by others.
Director Farmer.
Yes, thank you. Perhaps it's just my strange memory and imagination taking place of logic here, but has the board in any way, shape, or form in the past made a commitment to the location across from the Vets Hall as the location that we as a board would support?
We passed a motion a while back, several meetings ago, that gave our full commitment to the skate park and our commitment to the site if it was a feasible place to build. And it was qualified with that because at the time we did not have sufficient information to make a full commitment in the way that you just stated it.
Right.
Yeah, I do remember that alteration now. Yes, thank you.
So I would like to make one more attempt at this and say, consider, evaluate, and bring back to the board a recommendation related to the skateboard design and where it should be sited.
I can either do that as a motion or a second.
Is there any, you know, qualification or change or variation to that someone would like to suggest? President Howell?
Well, in terms, I don't know whether it needs to be part of the motion, but the other directions that you have could be included. The area about maintenance, I don't think we need to. I think we can leave that as just an instruction. I don't know that needs to be a motion. So I'd so move as you worded it, I think. Now, suddenly I've talked myself out of it.
Yeah. I second it.
Okay. Director Dean.
Yeah, I second it.
Oh, no, okay. I was just going to second it, but it's already been done.
All right, fine. So to restate one more time, consider, evaluate, and bring back to the board a recommendation related to skate park design and where it should be sited. All right.
Yeah. Good to meet.
All right, thank you. So Osana, roll call, please.
Yes. Did Director Vice President Howell state it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Yeah. So, Vice President Howell, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Vice President Howell. Aye. Director Gray?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Gray. Aye. Director Dean?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Dean. Aye. Director Farmer?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Aye. And President Steidel?
Aye.
Thank you, President Steidel. Aye. Five ayes unanimously. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. So to be specific to agenda item 3A for the motion related to it in consideration of the skate park design, the information discussed today as well as the presentations will be forwarded to PROS under the motion of their consideration and evaluation. And the vote for that motion was 5-0 and it's passed. All right, Director Farmer.
Yes, I'd like to thank the members of the public who turned out, a couple of dozen of them. You know, we often have a number of people attending these meetings when other particular topics of discussion are taking place. But this one is basically about the well-being of the youth of this community and the overall well-being of our community in a very positive and productive way. And I want to thank the folks that, like I say, attended the meeting for their support and their ongoing support of the skate park and the well-being, like I said, of this great town that we live in. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer, and well said. I appreciate that. And hopefully in that statement, as well as some of the other statements of folks and the interactions that have gone on today, I hope that the community recognizes that as a board, we very much support the idea of establishing this skate park for the younger members of our community, or any members of our community who may choose to use the park. And it's a matter of finding the best, getting the best result we can in being able to establish that and to keep in mind the impact, unfortunately or fortunately, of cost associated with it as well. So the board is kind of left with that responsibility. So it's always part of the things that we need to consider. And Mr. Spahn, thank you so much for joining us today and providing us with your input to the process and for the information. It was very appreciated. And I hope things are going well for you in all other regard.
Yeah. Thank you.
And Mr. D'Anzo, as always, thank you so much also for your information and support through this process and your very proactive participation with the county in terms of gathering information and looking to the needs of the community in this. That is appreciated as well. So is there anything additional? Anyone? All right, we're within our time frame, so we've accomplished that. And with that being said, then we can move to adjournment unless there's anything otherwise. Thank you to the community for coming today. It was very much appreciated, and I appreciate very much the fact of the level of interest that folks showed for showing up for a two-hour period on a Saturday morning, and to listen to some things often referred to as watching the sausage being made, but the process of government can be difficult to watch sometimes. So thank you for that. And please understand that this board has heard the concerns of the community and has heard the desires of the community, both expressed today by the people who spoke and the interactions that we've had with the Skate Cambria organization. So thank you all for your participation and continued participation. All right. Good. Have a good Saturday, everyone. Thank you for coming. Have a good Halloween.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Goodbye.